In less than 2 weeks, Detroit will have a new mayor. Mike Duggan's term begins January 1. Outgoing Mayor Dave Bing has been making his farewell tour around Detroit. And that got us wondering, what is the Bing legacy and what might we expect to see from his successor? We turned to Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes for some perspective. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So as we see Dave Bing taking his bow and bows and leaving office, what do you see as the highs and the lows of his time as mayor?
Well, I think on the highs, I think you cannot dissociate Dave Bing's tenure in City Hall from kind of a restoration of credibility and upright management at City Hall. And also, I think it has coincided with a massive private sector investment in the city, despite its well-demonstrated financial problems and now bankruptcy.
And that's because?
Well, I think because Dave was a known entity, and I think a lot of business people looked at him and said, you know what, we know Dave, we trust him. I think they overestimated his management acumen, and we can talk about that mm-hmm. in terms of the low points. But I do think he was somebody that they thought was doing the right thing. He wasn't always getting it done, but he was trying to do the right thing. And I think that was very important, and that coincided with the nation coming out of recession, the auto industry coming up off of its knees. So there were a lot of positive economic forces that were happening independent of what was going on in City Hall. But clearly, I think the private sector and the foundation investment in the city of Detroit, spearheaded by the likes of the Kresge Foundation and, of course, Dan Gilbert's Quicken Loans empire, have been real positives, and I don't think you can take that away from the mayor.
So after the legal and moral cesspool that was the Kilpatrick administration, mm-hmm. it was reassuring to the likes of the Dan Gilberts to see somebody who was an honest guy trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I wrote a piece about this recently, and I went back and looked at an interview I did with Dan Gilbert about 3 years ago, and I asked him at the time, I asked he and his one of his closest people, Matt Cullen, why are you guys doing this? And they said basically because we think the right people in charge and they're going to do the right thing. And it was a calculated bet, but it was nonetheless a bet. And in some ways, I think they've been proven correct. Now, in terms of the low points, I think the mayor's management acumen has always been overestimated. And I think as we look back on it now, I mean, he had trouble putting together a team. And when he had a team together, he had trouble keeping it together and managing it. And his knack for political management with the city council was not very good. He had a natural majority there and struggled mightily to keep those people in the fold, so to speak.
As a result,
he didn't have good relationships.
In fact, didn't he almost have an antagonistic or a suspicious view of some of those folks on city council that could have been real allies?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, three of the five natural majority, Gary Brown, Ken Cockrell, and Charles Pugh, were viewed as vying for the mayor's office. Viewed by him and his very close people.
Okay.
And as a result, I think they were very suspicious of trying to involve them in certain kinds of budget negotiations and other kinds of things, lest it be used against them later down the road. Now, there's an alternative view, which I haven't ascribed to, that the best way to get those guys and neuter them is to have them be part of your team, so to speak. But they didn't see it that way.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, right?
That's right. And as a result, the mayor had a very difficult time managing the parochial politics of Detroit.
And there could have been, I'm sure, a lot more accomplished. And you wonder, had they been able to get on the same page and work together, could the city have lived up to its consent agreement with Lansing, and might that have postponed Chapter 9?
I think that's very possible. We're never going to know. But clearly, had they demonstrated in that year or about 11 months that they were going to live up to it and had the capacity to actually execute what they agreed to, then I think the governor might have taken a different tack. Now, there are the cynics that will say this Chapter 9 thing was cooked a long time ago, and this is the direction they were going to go. I think the question is, maybe, but here we are now, and that's kind of an academic question at this point.
For someone listening to our conversation who does not live in Southeast Michigan, sum up Bing's mayorship and explain why they should care what this man has or has not done.
Well, I do think the restoration of there's a real transition going on at City Hall, and You know, I think the restoration of credibility of the mayor of Detroit is very important. It is the largest city in the state of Michigan, and frankly, it really defines the image of the state of Michigan more than people who don't live in Southeast Michigan care to acknowledge. And I think that's a very important point. And it also coincided, I think, with, let's be honest, the U.S. attorney in Southeast Michigan getting very aggressive and going after public corruption. That has also kind of, I think, put a support underneath the confidence that a lot of different groups and disparate investors and outstate politicians and lawmakers in Lansing and other people believe that things in Detroit are moving in the right direction. And I think the mayor has deserved some credit for that, setting a tone that was more stand-up, upright, and doing the right thing, or trying to, when he could.
I'm speaking with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes as we review the mayoral term of Dave Bing, and now we look ahead to what's coming, Mike Duggan. And as you've seen him assemble the pieces, meet with Kevin Orr, meet with Governor Snyder, figuring out who's going to do what, what can we expect from him after January 1st?
Well, I think you can expect a guy who is going to try to hit the ground running. He's cut a deal with Kevin Orr to essentially run a goodly chunk of city operations, not including things like the police department, blight removal, and the police department, but the fire department, a lot of the back office stuff, and the development operations of the city, which we're in the process of going over to the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, which is not technically a city department. I think what we see here is a guy who came out of the Wayne County political machine, spent a few years as a prosecutor, and then was at the DMC for 7 years as CEO. He's kind of getting the band back together. He's bringing in some people that had worked with him in the county, people he trusts. I think one of the things you may see with this mayor is a mayor who puts a lot of stock in loyalty and people that he knows. And sometimes politicians have to make a choice between experts in a field that they may not know, that they hire basically for their expertise, versus people that they know and trust and they believe are loyal to them, who may not be as adept at a certain technical field. And I think we're starting to see that come together. I mean, what I'm hearing in the background is that Mike Duggan is somebody that wants control. He wants control of as much as he can get as soon as he can get it. And you know what? He's elected mayor. That's understandable.
Sure.
So what they're trying to do here is craft something that is a really strange hybrid, because there are very few cities in the country that have an emergency manager who basically tells the mayor how much he can do and how far he can go. But that's clearly what the situation that they have right now. And I think this is really actually being driven by the governor and Kevin Orr to recognize the political legitimacy of the new city council and the new mayor, and to kind of get themselves down the road so that by September, when Kevin Orr's appointment is up, they don't have to appoint another emergency manager. Or if they do, could it be the mayor of Detroit? I think those are questions we still have to see. But I think the handwriting on the wall suggests that the governor is trying to get the state out of Detroit as quickly as he can.
I think there was a sense that when it came to Dave Bing, perhaps expectations were too high that he would really fix things post-Kwame. Could we be making the same mistake twice? Are we setting expectations that are too high for Mike Duggan?
Listen, I think expectations are very high for all the players in this, whether it's Kevin Orr, whether it's Governor Snyder, whether it's Mike Duggan, whether it's a new city council that for the first time is going to be elected along districts since the end of World War One. I think there's a lot of expectations, and there's a lot of cynical, well, we've got an emergency manager. How come all the lights aren't on? How come the crime hasn't been solved? Real life doesn't work that way. And I think, and I've said this many, many times, what's going on in Detroit is not a destination. It's a process. And you have to kind of see, are you making progress? Are you getting more lights on? Are you starting to fix certain problems that have been bedeviling the city for a very long time? That's, I think, the way you have to measure it. And Mike Duggan has said, you know, I want to be measured on metrics, and the one metric I want to be measured on at the end of 4 years is the population coming back to the city of Detroit, or are more people leaving than are coming into, say, downtown? And if that's a negative number, then he would say, I have not succeeded. How many lights do we get on? How many blighted properties have we taken care of? What have we done about violent crime? let's look at the metrics. I mean, he's put that upon himself, and that can be a tough burden in a place where you can't control everything, and no big city mayor can control everything.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, a pleasure. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you.